The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. This evening we'll be continuing our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. And it's been quite a while since we've been there. The whole month of February we had special speakers on Sunday evenings. And even the end of January we had one. So we'll be picking up in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this evening. So we encourage you to be back for that. So here in Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read just the first two verses as we begin this morning. Two verses that are familiar to us. The Apostle Paul, writing in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, says this: "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Hebrews chapter 12, we could put a title on the whole chapter of how to run the race. And we're going to look at that race here this morning. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Now again, Father, we come before you, and God, we thank you for all that are here this morning gathered together in your name. And Father, the purpose of our gathering here this morning is to give honor and praise and glory to you. Father, if there's one here that's not saved this morning, God, they're not able to do that. Their life cannot give you honor and glory and praise. Their lips cannot even give you honor, glory, and praise if they're not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray as we that are believers unite our hearts and challenge ourselves from the Word of God, that Father, you would do that job that only you can do. That is, send your Holy Ghost to convict their heart, show them their need for Christ, your great love for them. Father, bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We that are saved this morning, encourage us, God. We need encouragement. We need challenge. We recognize the trials around us, the difficulties. And Father, as we think about them here this morning, may we keep our eyes fixed on the finish line and our eyes fixed on our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that waiting to greet us when we get there. Bless your word, each and every heart. Encourage us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's wonderful and gracious name. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about, the Bible said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Paul, many times in his writings, referred to our Christian life as a race. Turn, if you would, back. We're going to do some page turning here this morning, but look, if you would, back at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to notice this theme in Paul's writing. Paul was not an athlete. Paul, as far as we can tell, was not athletically inclined. He's not a sports fan, at least he doesn't write about it in the Bible, but he compares our running or our Christian life to running a race. And he mentions it several times in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you're there, and verse number 24. Look at what Paul said here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24, Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." You and I, Paul says, are running a race that we might obtain something. And he talks about an incorruptible crown. Our running is not like a marathon's runner. Our running is not in competition with other people. Our running is in competition with ourselves. Believe it or not, there was a day when I used to run a lot. And when I did, I was never good enough to compete with other people. I competed with myself. I wanted to beat my best time. I wanted to stop any women from beating me. That's that male ego thing that comes in there. I had personal goals. It wasn't necessarily at that point in my life to win a race, but it was just to compete and to cross the line and to finish. I was competing against myself. When the Bible says, run that you may obtain, it's not that one of us has to be better than the other. It's that you and I have to look at ourselves, as he says in Hebrews chapter 12, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily, we have to put aside the things in our life so that we can run our best for God and obtain the prize. Paul said, run. Run that race. Look here in the same chapter down at verse 26. Paul said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. When a runner is in training, he watches what he eats, what he drinks, the right things, what he does, his routines, his habits. And the Bible tells us that we're running a race. This life is a race to give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, a few pages later in the Bible, at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And Paul said this to the church of Galatia in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, he said to this group of believers, he said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Obviously, he's not talking about the physical exertion of physical running, feet on the pavement. He said, they've turned from the truth because they did not run well. There's a lot of Christians today that are not running well. They're denying some of the things. They're denying some of the truths that God has revealed. They're getting involved in sin in their life. They're encompassing themselves in this world. They're not running well. Paul encourages us to run that race. Then look, if you would, at one more, the book of Philippians, a few pages after Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, chapter 2. And verse number 16. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul says this, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul often in his epistles, in his writing, compares the Christian life to running a race. He talks about running. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we run that race? Paul gives us a couple things in these two verses to help us, to encourage us to run that race. If you're saved right now, you're already in that race. You might be a year into that race. You might be 10 years into that race. Now, this is not a sprint. You know, the new convert, the person that gets saved, and you might remember when you first got saved, you had the enthusiasm of a sprinter. When you first got saved and realized your sins are forgiven and you're clean before God and going to heaven when you die and your name's in the Lamb Book of Life, man, that's such a change that takes place that you think you could beat Usain Bolt in the Olympics. You could beat the fastest man in the world. When you first get saved, you feel that way. But after you're saved for a while, that sprinter's mentality kind of dwindles a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, let's be honest. And you realize this is not a sprint. This is more like a 5K. And it's going to take a little longer to run this race. And then after you've run a little longer, you figure this is not a 5K. This is a half marathon. And after 13 years or 13 miles of running that race, you say, you know, it's not even a half marathon. It's a full-blown marathon. And after you get that far, you realize it's not a marathon. It's just a lifelong run. It's a lifelong run. And Paul wants to encourage us in that run. To some of you, you might be still on your sprint. I don't know. Some of you might be in that 5K. Some might be. You're at different places in our life. By the time we've been saved and by our advance in our Christian life, we're at different places in that run. But the Bible tells us all of us need to be running. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 1 what happens when we stop running and walk and then stop and then sit down. We don't want the negative progress. We want to be pushing forward. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We want to run the race. But it gets hard. It gets weary. Let's look first of all at the example of the Son of God. The Bible tells us in chapter 12 that we need to lay those things. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus had a race to run. And in his race, he had to endure some things. The Bible says he had to endure the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God. We want to run our race enduring until we're set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't quit. Don't fall out by the way. I remember one of the last races I ran. I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I was a little bit older, and I'd been out of running, and I went downtown to run a race that went from the courthouse up in Cambridge, up toward there, and different circumstances, things that happened, and I was kind of discouraged that morning, and I got about halfway into it, and I just walked off the course and walked home and went back. We don't want to do that in the race for Jesus Christ. We don't want to do that in our running, our life of faith. The Bible says we need to finish the course. We need to endure. Jesus said that the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross. I've got news for you. Our life's not a 100-yard dash, not a 5K, not a half marathon, not a marathon, not even just an all-out run, not just a commitment to run the whole time. We've got hills that we've got to run. We've got valleys that we've got to run. It's not a flat course. Jesus gave us the example because the Bible said when he ran his race, it wasn't a flat course for him. He endured the cross. When we run, we're going to have to endure some things. Those that are training and those that are running, sometimes they'll be, Jonathan, you can, and your dad, you know, you're out there running sometimes, and about halfway through it, you start cramping up in your side. As boy, you know, as an athlete, you say, I'm going to run through this, I'm going to get through this, and most of the time, you're able to do that. But every once in a while, it gets you. It's a little too rough. Sometimes you're out there and the bottom of your foot or your ankle starts bothering you. You think, what in the world's going on now? And you try to run through it. You get through it. Jesus endured some negative things to finish that race. He set an example for us. And he encourages us to do the same thing. It would be nice if you trusted Christ as your Savior and for the rest of your life, everything you touched was gold. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, you get saved, your sins are forgiven, you're clean, and for the rest of your life, no temptation ever overtakes you. No sin ever hangs on to you. No discouragement or disappointment ever attacks you. No emotional lows. No financial lows. Everything is just great. But if you've been saved for any amount of time, and I mean more than 24 hours, you realize that that's not the way things happen. The key word in this race, the Bible says in verse number 2, is he endured. Our race is not just a flat race for life. Our race is a race with hills and valleys and obstacles. There are going to be obstacles all along the race of life. And they're there to trip us up. The devil puts them there. To try to get us off course, to try to get us discouraged, to try to get us to quit. And he's good. The devil's good at putting obstacles in our road. But the Bible said Jesus endured, and his encouragement to you and I, just like him, is to endure those negative things. You know, the Bible talks, well, look here, the Bible talks about some things that we're to endure. And every one of them is negative. You don't have to endure something that's positive. You ever had that relative that you really just aren't that crazy about, and they're coming to your house to visit? You endure that visit. That relative that comes that you're close to and you enjoy their company, you don't endure that one. The word endure in itself means negative things. And the Bible tells us there are obstacles in this life that as we're running that we're going to have to endure some things. Look, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look this morning at these things the Bible tells us we have to endure. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, it's not like I couldn't ask you what you have to endure. You know, if I ask you what you have to endure, you'd give me a list and it would match the list we're going to look at right now. Because that's how real and practical the Bible is. The good thing is the Bible gives us the list before we face it so that we know that God is all-knowing and he knew it before it hit us. Isn't that comforting? To know that before whatever that thing is that hit us, whatever that obstacle is, whatever it is we have to endure, God knew about it before it got placed in our road. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 5. Paul said this. He's talking to young Timothy. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. It would be nice if God removed all afflictions from our race when we trusted his Son as our Savior. But the reality of life is that doesn't happen. Brother Gary Edmonds is sitting home right now after having his side split open. Sorry for the description there. He's sitting home. Why? An affliction. Phyllis is walking on a cane having recovered from some things. An affliction. Scores of people in here are going through things that are physical. Those are afflictions. You know what he said? In our race for Jesus Christ, we don't have to be the fastest. That's the thing. We don't have to be the one that wins the race. We're not in competition against each other. The thing is that we just finish the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And in this race and in this life, you're going to have to endure afflictions. Now, you can say, why do I have to? We're not going to talk about that this morning. We're just going to face the fact that in your life, as a born-again, redeemed child of God, you're still going to have afflictions. What do you do in those afflictions? You give God the glory. You give Him the honor. You give Him the praise. We looked at Brother Bob Ginther sitting in that room last night, and I walked out and told John, I said, I just feel so incapable. What do you say to a person that's in that condition? What do you say to a person that's there? Obviously, now, I don't know how much suffering is going on. I know the medications that are there, but you just look at a life, and here's a man that gave his life serving God. Pastored a church, worked as a youth pastor, he worked as a bus director, led singing for us years ago in our church here, and you see him in that condition, and I don't have all the answers, but I know this. God says you're going to have to endure afflictions. You and I go through some things, you know. I go through them and I look at somebody like that and I say, you know what I got? I can handle. Praise God, I can take care of that. Best thing you and I can do when we get feeling sorry for ourselves physically is go visit folks in the nursing home. You'll come out thanking God for whatever health you got, however limited it is. In this life, the Bible says we're going to have to endure afflictions. Don't let the afflictions stop you from running the race. Don't let them distract you. Hebrews chapter 10, if you're over there, if you've kept your place, we'll be back to Hebrews 12, so don't lose it. But look also at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, Paul is talking to the nation of Israel, and he says, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated." Okay, can we call that salvation? Coming from darkness to the light. He's talking about the nation of Israel. When he brought them out of Egypt and when he showed them his glory, when they were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. The children of Israel that God delivered from Egypt and led through the wilderness, we read the story of their wilderness wanderings. They had one affliction after the other. One trial after another. One trouble after another. But they didn't allow it to stop them, and eventually and finally they reached the land of promise. They reached the land flowing with milk and honey. They reached the land of Canaan. They traveled forward through their afflictions. You and I, focusing on Jesus Christ, focusing on heaven's shore one day, we're going to get there by traveling through the afflictions, the things that so easily beset us. Endure afflictions. Look at Hebrews right in this chapter, chapter 12. Not only are there afflictions that we're going to have to endure, but there's chastening. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 7. The Bible says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You're going to have to endure some chastening. Sometimes God has to correct us. Sometimes we get off course. We make a wrong turn. We're going a wrong direction. You know, if a runner is running a marathon, running a long race, and for some reason he's running out there and turns the wrong way, you know what he wants? He wants somebody to yell out and tell him, hey, you took a wrong turn. Hey, you're going the wrong way. The course is over there. He wants somebody to correct him. You and I as a child of God ought to ask God, God, if I ever get off course, correct me. God, if I ever go a wrong direction, take a wrong turn, Father, please, in your mercy, in your grace, put me on the right path. Put me in the right direction. We have to endure chastening. Because when we get off that course, God, the Bible says, if He's our Father, He's going to chasten us. A lot of times folks will ask me, and I'll just be honest with you, they'll say, what about this person or that person? They profess to be saved, and they're not in church, they're not living right. You know what I always fall back on? Are they enduring chastening? Are they under the chastening hand of God? If they're not under the chastening, if they're disobedient to God and not under His hand of chastening, they're not His child. But if they're not walking right and they are a child of God, God's going to be doing something in their life to chasten them and bring them on the right road. Because every son, the Bible says, endure chastening. I don't know about you. I've raised quite a few kids. And I'm sorry, Jocelyn. None of them were perfect. She's here this morning, so I'll say she was the closest. None of them were perfect. You've never raised a perfect child. You were not a perfect child. There's never been a perfect child outside of the the babe Jesus Christ. Every child needs chastening at one point or another. And when parents don't chasten their child, there's a problem. Oh, my little Susie wouldn't do anything wrong. I got to be careful whose name I pick here. My little Susie wouldn't. No, we all have to endure chastening in this world. We all endure chastening in our Christian life. None of us is sinless. None of us is perfect. And when we endure that chastening, we need to thank God for it. Because the Bible says when He chastens us, it's because He loves us. Because He cares about it. If He didn't love us, He wouldn't chasten us. You're going to endure chastening. It's all when I get afflictions, I quit. When I get chastened by God, I quit. No, run the race. Run the race. Jesus endured. And you've got to endure some things too. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Some things we've got to endure in this race. Jesus Christ set the example. He endured the cross. What He endured is far greater than anything you and I ever have to endure. Our problems, our trials are nothing compared to Jesus on the cross bearing the sins of the world. And if He's our Father and He's our example and He's the one that we're supposed to walk like and walk after, then we're going to have to endure some things too. Not to attain salvation, not to earn eternal life, but to cross that finish line and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't believe that every born-again child of God enters into heaven and gets a well done. Some of them are going to get in, like Job said, by the skin of their teeth. But I want to cross that line and have that official at the line say, "Well done." We're going to have to endure. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19. "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief." Endure grief. This life is full of grief. It's full of sorrow. It's full of disappointments. This one even says suffering wrongfully. All of our griefs are not brought about by ourselves. Some of the griefs are brought down and we're misjudged and we're mistaken and all these kind of things. And yet the Bible says that when we do those things, we don't quit on God. You know what our tendency is? Especially when we suffer wrongfully. We've not done anything wrong in this certain case, and yet we're suffering for it. We say, "God, why me?" I've always said, you know what God says? "Why not you? Why not you?" Who do we think we are? That why God, why me? Because God wants us to run our race, and our race is not going to be without obstacles. And so God allows the devil to put an obstacle of grief in our path for you and I to overcome the obstacle and show our determination by the example of the Son of God to endure grief. Let's run the race. Grief is going to be a part of it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, some of these things overlap, they're similar. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, a verse we're familiar with, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness. What does a soldier have to endure? Difficult terrain, difficult times, difficult training, difficult meals, difficult circumstances. We pray for our military. We pray for those serving our country because it's not an easy thing to do. Especially those that get deployed overseas to those countries like Afghanistan and places like that. And they're far away from our customs and our things and all those stuff. All of our military personnel, they're enduring hardness. Their training is difficult. It's hard. The Bible says in our Christian life, we're going to have to endure the kind of hardness too. Sometimes the terrain's going to be rough. Sometimes the times are going to be difficult. Sometimes the meals are not going to be all that we wanted. And God says you've got to endure that to run this race. The old song from what, the 50s or 60s? "I never promised you a rose garden." When you and I got saved, God didn't promise a rose garden, even though we got some of the thorns that come with it. But He told us we would have a life where we're going to have to run the race. How do you get through the afflictions? How do you get through the chastening? How do you get through the grief and the hardness? Looking unto Jesus. When we put our eyes on the things, you know what happens. Peter got out of the boat. Jesus, Lord, bid me come unto thee. As long as he was looking at Jesus, Jesus said, come on, Peter. And Peter stepped out of the boat and took a couple steps on the water toward Jesus. As long as he was looking at Jesus, everything was okay. The storm was still there. The waves were still raging. It wasn't calm yet. But when he saw Jesus, he walked out on that thing. But then he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the afflictions, looked at the grief, looked at the trials, looked at the circumstances. And you know what happened? He sank. Cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus reached down and pulled him back up. We're going to have these things in our race in life, but the thing we've got to do is keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. When these afflictions and these things come, we just understand we must be a child of God or the devil wouldn't be bothering with us like this. Endure. Right before 1 and 2 Timothy is Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse number 4. Paul, writing to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, said, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. There's not a period there. He said, he didn't say we glory in you, talking to the church. He just said, we don't glory in you because of your patience and faith. But he said, your patience and faith in all your persecutions. In all your persecutions. You know, when a person first gets saved, they think the whole world's going to rejoice. I mean, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. What person on earth wouldn't be just excited? And they start telling people they got saved. And you know what they find out fast? Not everybody's excited about it. Not everybody thinks it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to somebody. And we start facing some persecution. We start facing some opposition. You say, what do you do when that happens? Looking unto Jesus. He's the example. He's the one we look at. He's the one we trust in. Have you seen what's going on? It was 2 days ago, March 6th, in the Washington Times, they reported that 33 Christians are about to be executed in North Korea. Their only crime is they were associating with a Baptist missionary, and they have started 500 underground churches. This is what the paper reported. A secular paper. They've started 500 underground churches in the past years, and the missionary was arrested last year. They've rounded up 33 of his closest workers, and they're all scheduled to be executed here in the next couple of days. Suffering persecution. And you know what? They're talking to those folks, and you know what? They're just saying, if it's for the glory of God, let it happen. If it's for the glory of God, we'll take it. God gives grace to die, but God also gives grace to live. You and I have not been called to suffer persecution to that degree. So what little we do suffer, we've got to step over it as an obstacle in our race and keep running, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There's going to be some persecution. Look at that verse. It didn't stop there. In all your persecutions and tribulations. Tribulations are just increased persecutions. Tribulations are the trials and the troubles and the difficulties of this life. And they're all out there. We're not exempt from them because we're saved, because we're children of God. God doesn't put a protective shield around us. Now, he puts his hand of blessing on us, but he doesn't put the shield around us to stop us from everything that happens. He hedges us in. The devil's got to get permission. But God allows him to put afflictions. He allows him to put grief. He allows him to put persecutions. He allows him to put even tribulation into our life. Different times God allows it because he wants to try our faith. We're going to have to face some of those things. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Right after the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, James chapter 1 and verse number 12. James James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. There's some things we're going to have to endure in this race for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an easy race. It's not a short race. It's a difficult, trial-filled race with a great reward at the end. And the Bible says here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. There are five different crowns mentioned in the Bible that a believer can receive when they get to heaven. And those crowns are given depending on how we run our race. Not every Christian that gets to heaven gets these crowns. But those that run the race faithfully, that overcome the obstacles, that keep their eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Paul wrote in Corinthians, said, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Again, our human nature, we want to say, nobody's ever faced what I'm facing before. In 6,000 years of human history, from Adam till now, I'm going through something nobody else has ever experienced. And I'm sure because nobody else has experienced, God's never had to deal with it, so He probably doesn't even know what to do. That's the attitude we get sometimes. We think, but the Bible says there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Whatever temptation I face, it's happened to thousands, if not millions, of others before. And you know what? A lot of them have stepped over it and continued the race and not quit. Enduring, that's the key to the race. One more verse, Psalm chapter 30. Keep your place in the New Testament. We'll be right back. With just one in the Old Testament. Look at Psalm chapter 30. We're going to have to endure some things in this race. And again, as I go through these things, I know I'm preaching to the choir, as they say. Because if you've been saved any amount of time, you've faced all these different obstacles. It's not like, well, I wonder which one of those will hit me. Every single one of them. We won't be exempt from any of them. God allows these things to happen to us. Psalm chapter 30, look if you would at verse number 5. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. You're going to have to endure some heartbreak. Endure some disappointments. Endure some times, folks, when you just think the world is over. Where do we go from here? Where do I turn from here? There's an emptiness in our heart. There's sorrow in our heart. There's grief. There's affliction. And there's weeping. But the Bible says, but joy cometh in the morning. Keep running, keep running, keep running, keep running. Afflictions, persecutions, temptations. Grief, whatever it is that's there, you face it, you run through it, you grit your teeth, you get through it by the help of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We keep our eyes focused on Him. As long as we do that, we can run that race, the example of the Son of God. Now look, secondly and lastly, if you would, at the encouragement from the Word of God. The encouragement, can I tell you, what I've just said is not encouragement. You're going to have griefs, you're going to have heartaches, you're going to have weeping. That's not the encouraging part of the message. That's the reality of life. And that's the example that Jesus set that endured those things. But then He goes on to give us some encouragement from the Word of God. Look, if you would, quickly at Hebrews chapter 12. My time's about up. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Notice, if you would, here, the encouragement from the Word of God is to look around us. Verse number 1 said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, people always do better when someone's watching. Every employer has learned that. Every man that has had people or woman that's had somebody work for them understands that they work a lot harder when you turn the corner and come around and find them working. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. Because that's just the way our nature is. Not that we're slothful and sluggard in our work until the boss is watching, but there's a natural tendency to pick it up. Somebody that's running a race. You go to a track meet or you go to a running race, and when they come to a part or along the run, maybe on a 5-mile run, and they're running through some territory where there's nobody watching, and they see somebody up ahead, it's a natural tendency to just pick it up for a few moments while you pass that person that's watching, then get back where nobody's looking again. Our whole race, somebody's watching. He just got done in Hebrews chapter 11 giving us 16 names of people, men and women, and a whole lot of unnamed people that ran races. From Abel to Enoch to Noah to Moses to Abraham to Sarah, all those, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, all those that were listed. Why were those names listed? For us to look at some people that ran a race. And when they ran the race, there were people that were watching them. People say, well, you know, the Bible says, seeing we are so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses are those in Hebrews chapter 11 that are up there watching. No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody in heaven wants to look down here at what's going on down here. That would just steal their joy in a heartbeat. But you know what verse 12 says? He mentions all those 16 names and all those people. Then he says in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also, like them, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know what that tells us? He gave us those names and said those people were compassed about with witnesses. None of them lived and died alone. People saw their trial, saw their affliction, saw their grief, saw their weeping, saw those things, but also saw that by faith they finished the race. Now he says, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know why you and I don't run this race? Because of those around us. Secondly, the Bible tells us we ought to encourage us to rate it because those things about us. Now he said, what's the difference between around us and about us? Around us are the things that surround. About us is personal. Look what he says there. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Our sins weigh us down. It's like putting weights on the ankles of a runner. He can't run as fast as he could or should. He's been weighted down. Those runners, they get the slickest clothing they can. You know, the ones with the least wind resistance. If you're my age, you remember the tennis shoes you wore in gym class? If you haven't, go around some running shop and pick up a running shoe now and hold them in two different hands. Wow, what a difference. Our old PF Flyers feel like a ton of bricks. These running shoes, you almost feel like you're not holding anything in your hand. What are they doing? They're trying to get rid of every possible weight they can to run the best that they can. The Bible tells us that the sins in our life are like those weights. They stop us from running that race. So he says, not only look around you at the great cloud of witnesses, but look about you, look at yourself, and cast aside, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We need to be projecting in our lives and focusing on the sins that are there, even though now at this point in our life, hopefully, they're small sins. They're not big sins, but we're focusing on them and saying, God, help me get rid of this so I can run better. Help me lay aside this weight so I can run and give you more honor and more glory. We need to look around us. We need to look about us. And then finally, verse 2, we need to look above us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I mean, that's the capstone of the whole race, isn't it? Who are we running to please? Not the crowd. Who are we running to please? Not ourselves. We're running to please the Lord. We're going to endure. We're going to run. We're going to lay aside. We're going to cast aside. We're going to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. One thing I learned when I was young, running in track and cross country, the coach told us, he said, focus on the finish line. Now, in track, that's not too hard because it's an oval. No matter how far you're running, you know where the... In cross country, it's a little more difficult because the finish line's 3 miles away. But what they were trying to tell us is while you're running, visualize crossing the finish line. Focus on what it's going to be like when you finally get done. Don't think about, you know, my side aches, my calves are hurting. Don't focus on that. Think about what it's going to be like. Focus on crossing the finish line. And everybody cheering. And you getting that award. Focus on the finish line. Can I tell you this morning, we need to focus on the finish line. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.